Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
Okay, I'm reading Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your path.
Amen. You can clap for her, that's fine. I've always said about the Bridge, it's the coolest congregation because you clap for the people that read scripture, you clap for the people that put up chairs, you clap for just about anything and everything. So I remember this feeling when I got left at TCU. And it was my choice to go there, but I remember this feeling when my parents drove me over there and I had my classy 92 Lumina carrying all my stuff, you know, with my parents' car behind me carrying the rest of the stuff, and all these stories about my dad saying, you know, everything I took to college I could fit in the back of a 67 Mustang with a spare tire in it, and we hear we've got a pickup truck following you, leaving you off. And we left Allen around probably 8 in the morning or 7 in the morning because we knew it was going to be hot. We knew the dorms opened up early. We wanted to go ahead and get there. And plus, there was this secret ambition that I wanted to get there before my roommate so I could set up my stuff first and that he would have to adjust to me. And as I settled in and we got everything ready by, you know, we got there maybe 8 o'clock, 8:30. We set up by about 9, 9:30. And my parents finally left sometime around 9 p.m. that night. They just wouldn't leave. And now my room looked immaculate because my mom kept moving things around, kept organizing stuff. It was great. And they took me out to lunch. They took me out to dinner. And I got my last taste of what it was like to really live with my parents. Now, living on campus is kind of a cush life at TCU. You get your meals paid for usually through a meal plan. You go there, you swipe a card. You don't even have a concept of what money is. But there's still a lot of decisions to be made. And I remember that day watching my parents drive away, knowing that at least for the next semester, I would be on my own. I remember the same feeling, though, that, you know, even though I graduated from TCU, I went off to Emory in Atlanta. I didn't know anyone within 12 hours, except for my dad, who had driven the 12 hours out there with me. He was still with me at that moment of transition, and he helped me set everything up. He stayed over the night. He bought me a vacuum cleaner because he knew that I would use it, you know, at least once a 2 years, every 2 years or something like that. And I remember watching him as he drove away, knowing that I was on my own with a little bit of taste of independence in my life, that my path was now my own to carve. But it wasn't necessarily my own. I simply had tasted independence for the first time going out in life. A lot of the seniors that are graduating from college or graduating from high school, people who have even passed through a different Bible study onto a new level of church leadership, people who have graduated from preschool, who are going into kindergarten in a new adventure, people who are switching jobs, people who are going into the military, people who are exiting out of the military, it's transition, it's change, it's this different experience, but in all of it, it usually provides the sense of accomplishment. Seniors, you did a great thing. Not everyone graduates from high school. In McKinney, it's pretty prominent that they do, but not everyone in America graduates from high school. It's a big deal. I think we've lost a little bit of that big deal stature of graduating from high school, graduating from college, that it's a really an important thing to celebrate that achievement. Other transitions carry achievement too. When you retire from the military, they hold this big ceremony for you. When you graduate from college or grad school, you get even more honors than the previous graduation had. When you have a new baby, it's just like you're having this the best achievement you've ever had in your arms, you know, creating life. I was talking to this mother of an 8-month-old little boy at this wedding I did last night. We were sitting at the table, and she didn't have anyone to sit with, so she came over, and she started talking to us, and, you know, she mentioned that this was her night out from her kid, you know, and she was first night out from a baby in 8 months, and so she was kind of ready to party, I'll have to say. And so we just started chatting about all this different stuff, baby talk about, you know, my daughter's about to turn 2, and oh my gosh, I can't even imagine that. And so I said, well, has it just been the best thing ever for you? You know, I just love having a daughter. And she says, yeah, it's been okay. I said, what? You know, are you kidding? And she said, well, no, now it's great, but that first month was just torture. And so, yeah, I hear an amen from the crowd, and I start thinking, well, yeah, the first month, you know, especially for the mom, is really rough because they're waking up. And the one thing that I always remember is that She said, "No one ever told me it was going to be like this." And so seniors, as you're going off to college, whatever transition you're making in your life, if you're having kids, you can always look back and say, "No one ever told you it was going to be like this." Because there's a truth about life. There's a truth that whenever we accomplish something, whenever we make that accomplishment to move on with a transition in our lives, we pretty much have this mindset that we're the first person to ever do it. And I think that most of us can agree with that. You know, when it's a job change, when it's graduating from high school, for whatever reason, we forget that this has been done by millions and millions of people throughout history. And so we put all the pressure and all of this accomplishment onto our shoulders, and we think that we are the first person to ever do this. And so all the stress that comes with that, all the joy that comes with that, it's solely ours. It's completely ours. And we go forward with the immense pressure that we have to make our path straight. Now, especially seniors who are going to college, I remember a lot of these moments. I've lived most of these moments. With accomplishments, we are supposed to feel stronger and wiser, which I'm assuming you do. I'm assuming you feel smarter. I'm assuming that you feel proud, more proud of yourself. But accomplishments are supposed to be like that. Over the course of my life, I have found accomplishments to be a little more like, the transition from accomplishments to be a little more like this video here.
Yay! Come walk to dad. Come get me.
Put your hand out like you're...
Dad got you.
Tired?
Yeah, I think we're tired.
Can you
cook
your mom? Literally, go get me.
Go get mom. Go walk to her. We're still...
Yay!
Yay! I'm sure we got that one.
There's an old secret in preaching. You show a video of a cute kid and no one else cares about the rest. They all go home and say what a great sermon it was. So you are about to be toddlers. You are going from knowing everything, knowing everybody, knowing the system, to not knowing anything, not having anything, not knowing anyone. It's a new adventure for you. You are struggling to walk sometimes. You are toddling around. And this happens in every life change. It happens with every new accomplishment, every new achievement. And it's something new. It's something different. You don't know what's coming up. And our natural way of thinking is that I'll figure it out. I did it before. I can do it again. And while that's some true, I hope that you will take heed of today's scripture and include God in this situation. Because I know that my first year of TCU, I got there. I watched my parents walk away. I played volleyball that night. I played basketball that night. The next week, I went out with friends. You know, I just lived the college life for about 2 or 3 weeks. And then all of a sudden, it just hit me that I had to go home. And so about every 3 weeks, when I didn't see my parents come to football games, I would drive home from TCU just about every weekend just to be comfortable again, just to know what it felt like to have my laundry done for me or to have meals cooked for me, you know, all these different things, these comforts of home that I so enjoyed. I wanted to be dependent again. I was so thirsty to make it on my own. I was so thirsty for independence. I was so thirsty to make my own path. I forgot how wonderful it was to have two parents there who were willing to catch me whenever I fell. I was forgot what it felt like to have two parents there who were encouraging me to take steps, who were encouraging me to go farther and longer in my journey than I ever could on my own. Sometimes it's just hard to let go for us kids. It's hard to let go of those comforts of life, and you need to. But there's an old saying that comes from the wisdom we see in the verse from Proverbs 3. And this is a proverb that is basically... all about focus in your life. It's all about relying upon God. It's all about keeping that as your sole focus, that everything I do will have some kind of stem in God's word. It will have some kind of stem that God is directing my paths. And the old phrase is, let go. You know how it ends? Let God. Let go, let God. Now we read this verse. I'm going to read it again. For Proverbs 3, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight." Now you have chosen your way. You have chosen the path, whether it be the military, whether it be college. You get to live with your decision, you get to live with your path, and it's based upon a lot of educated assumptions. It's based upon a lot of passions. Maybe it's a feeling. When I walked on campus at Emory, I just knew that's where I wanted to go. And so you've chosen this way. And you think you got it all figured out. You think you want your independence. And I invite you to take it. I invite you to let go. Because no one is ever going to get where they're going or where they're supposed to go if they're constantly being prodded along the every step of the way. No one is ever going to fulfill their entire potential with God if they're not allowed to use their God-given skills, abilities, and gifts that the Spirit has bestowed upon them. You can't do that if your parents are making all the decisions for you. You can't do that if your spouse is making all the decisions for you. You can't do that if your kids are making all the decisions for you. You have to let go. Parents, on the other hand, you have to let go as well. If you saw the video with me and Lindsay there, we were about 3 inches from Arden at the entire time. And just about the whole course of Arden learning how to walk, for 4 months, if you saw us walking around here, usually it was Lindsay, and the biggest thing was Arden's fear. It was her not believing she could do it, I think, because I think she could have walked probably like 3 months earlier than she should. Not that I was pushing it very much, but she wouldn't crawl. And so we were walking around doing this, and we got huge backaches. And there just came a point when we had to stand her up and back out and let her go. Because parents, your kids are wonderful people. Husbands and wives, your spouse are wonderful people. Your families are wonderful people. Their friends are wonderful people, but you can't control them. You have a hard enough time controlling ourselves most of the time. We have to let go often. So parents, as your kids drive off to college, don't go visit them every weekend. Don't call them every day. Don't call them every week. Let them be the one who calls you, and you get your feelings hurt when they don't call for 3 months or something like that. Not that I'm guilty of that. Let go a little bit. But the other part of that, the other part from Scripture, it says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Fortunately for us, we have a God that picks us up when we fall. Fortunately for us, we have a God who pushes us a little bit. Fortunately for us, we have a God who is willing to call us to be the person he designed us to be. And it's my belief that God doesn't feel like he has to sit there and hold our hand the entire time. We weren't created for that. We were created to be with God, to be in relationship with God. If you remember at the beginning of Genesis, it says, you will be stewards of my garden. It talks about that Adam was allowed to name all of the animals, all of the plants. You know, they had this tremendous responsibility. And so the second part is that let God. But what did I just say? It doesn't match up with what I just said, because I just said that we have all this tremendous responsibility. We have all this great ego about us. We have all this great gifts and skills that God has bestowed upon us. Every one of us can do something unique that the other people cannot. It forms a community of Christ, and we come together and we work for Christ. And so we have all this, and God's letting us go, but yet we're saying, let go of ourselves, let go of your kids, and let God take control. Well, I don't believe the statement, let go and let God, means sit there. I believe it means that God has made your path straight. That God has given us the wisdom to go forward. That God has outlined the blueprint of, it doesn't matter what you're doing in your vocation. You could be a teacher. You could be a rocket scientist. You could be a musician. You could be an athlete. You could be a pastor. You can be whatever vocation it is that God is calling you to do. And you'll hear that. But God doesn't give us these little individual, okay, you should be a musician, but you should do it this way. You could be a teacher, but you should do it this way. And those little sets of rules aren't different for everybody. That's the path. And that's what the story of Scripture tells us. The story of Scripture outlines this path that we can start in, you know, take the most popular rules out there, the Ten Commandments. The most popular rules. Everyone knows the Ten Commandments. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't worship other gods. Don't steal. How does that apply to you? How do you let God, let what God has already said, what God has already laid out in the path, direct where you're going? How do you let God and let the words and the teachings and the miracles of Jesus Christ get you where you're going? How do you follow in that line of thinking through your transition, through what you're going to do? Because we always think we're the first ones to ever do this. We always think that once somebody lets go of us, that we're the only ones who know how to do it. And we forget that we have a God who's all-knowing. We forget we have a God who's everywhere. We have a tendency to forget that God is in control. We also have a tendency to forget that God's not going to hold your hand. God's going to pick you up. God's going to encourage you. But you got to walk on your own two feet. And so as you're walking on your own two feet, you have a path that you can choose. And you can make all the decisions for. You can do whatever you want to do. Or you can take a path that God's laid out for you. You can take a path with all of the rules that God sets out. You can take a path with all the advice in Proverbs. You can take a path with all of the praise that we find in Psalms. You can take a path that realizes the mistakes of all the people in Scripture. You can take a path that follows the ethic of Jesus. You can take a path that says that I need Jesus Christ in my life to be redeemed and saved and to make it to where I'm going. Or you can do it by yourself. And so parents, seniors, people, let go. You're not the first people to live life. You're not the first people to be through your situation. It's unique to you, absolutely. God is with you. Let go of your worry. Let go of your plans. Let go of everything in your life. And ask yourself a question. How am I going to let God guide me? How am I going to look to what God has already set up to make my path straight? Let go. Let God. Let's pray. Gracious God, we ask for your guidance in this life. We ask that you would lead us when we need to be led. But God, you have done so much for us already, and we constantly want more and more and more. And God, we have a lot of issues going on that I think if we would just look to you, our path would be straight. And so thank you for making that path straight. Thank you for showing that in the way of Jesus Christ. And thank you for your glory here today. We ask that you would be with the people in transition, for the seniors, for the soldiers, for all those people who are going to be a little lost and who want to come home. Lord, we know that you are home and you are always there for us, but you are always constantly pushing us a little bit forward and a little bit beyond, so that one day we will walk side by side with you instead of running back. So God, be with us. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. Feel free to join us at our bridge service, a relaxing and rejuvenating worship experience built around soulful music and worship of Jesus Christ, Sunday mornings at 10:45. For more information, visit our website, mysunc.org. Have a blessed day.